Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:47 Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 17th, and I apologize for the late recording of the audio tonight, this afternoon here. David's IT setup with FT Money, Fuller Tracy Money, hasn't quite kicked in just yet. When we look at what's been happening in the markets, then a deal that was struck on Wall Street in Washington yesterday continues to resonate, and perhaps the most relevant side effect has been with the US dollar. Considering the fact that the risk premium attached to the default has been avoided and that is now being unwound, then that's been positive for stock markets. So the S&P 500 moved on to new all-time highs in here today. The Dow Jones was relatively unchanged, and the Nasdaq Composite moved on to new recovery highs. In Europe, actually staying in the Americas, the Canadian market broke upwards to new two-year highs in here today and appears to be breaking up out of what has been a really quite a lengthy consolidation phase here. In Europe, the DAX and the CAC continue to push on to new high ground, and the FTSE in the UK continues to firm in the region of the 200-day moving average. It is perhaps being held back somewhat by the strength of the pound in here, and that pushed through the $1.60 level in here against the dollar today. In Asia this morning, because of the yen's weakness yesterday, then the Japanese market was stronger by about 0.2%. The Chinese market was also a little bit steadier in here, and in a number of the ASEAN markets we're seeing that they're continuing to steady. And despite the fact that they've had these much larger pullbacks over the course of the summer, what we are seeing is some support building. And this ranging environment that has been going on now for a couple of months is probably likely to continue, but we are starting to get back up towards the upper side of those ranges. When we look at what exactly has been happening with the dollar, yes, the risk premium has been reduced in terms of the default. And what that also means is that we're setting the stage once more for another political circus in January. And that pretty much ensures that there isn't going to be any tapering this side of 2014. And with a new Fed chairman and with this whole what is turning into a sort of a ridiculous pantomime in terms of the debate that's just going on between the two parties in Washington, it does suggest that there is unlikely to be any tapering in January either. And that would push us out into February or March. And with that in mind, then we're talking about 6 months of accommodative monetary policy. And considering that people have been really worried, then the risk premium then on the dollar is that we are still in a extraordinarily accommodative stage for the US dollar and for monetary policy, and that the prospect of rising interest rates is pretty unlikely in here anytime soon. So what we saw today was that gold was stronger by approximately $30 and is finding support once more and at a progressively higher level. So the ranging environment with an upward bias that we've seen with gold is likely to continue. And it does suggest that the precious metal markets are back into an area of equilibrium. And in the industrial metal markets, zinc is just one example of a metal which has really been range-bound for the better part of 2 years, and it's currently at the lower side of that range. And the industrial metals generally are back into a relative equilibrium. And the prices that we're seeing at present are multiples of where they had traded before the secular bull market in commodities had even begun, which was about 10 years ago now. And that's pretty consistent with what we've seen in previous cycles, in that the historic price environment that existed before the bull market will never again be retested. And the chances are that where we are right now is probably as low as some of these metals are likely to go. And that any fall below current levels is really likely to be reasonably short-lived. What we're also seeing is that in the industrial metal complex, that some of the relative strength is starting to return in there as well, and certainly in the steel sector. And the steel sector has sort of been standing out over the last few months as really quite undervalued relative to the wider market. And what we are seeing at present is not just in individual sectors, but also in country indices, that the laggards are experiencing catch-up plays. And so Europe is beginning to outperform the US at present, and that premium in terms of fundamental valuations is also starting to close. But also within individual countries, the relatively inexpensive equities have the capacity to play catch-up, and particularly in unloved sectors such as basic resources and materials such as steel. When we think about what is happening with the bond markets, then the quantitative easing that everyone was worried about tapering is going to continue for the next few months at least, and potentially even another 6 months, and that should help to support government bond prices in here. So US Treasuries were a little bit firmer in here today, and they can rally further in here and are likely to close their oversold conditions relative to their 200-day moving averages. However, over the medium term, tapering has been delayed. It hasn't entirely been taken off the table. So we're going to be presented with a reasonably good opportunity to lighten positions in government bonds and indeed in corporate bonds. What we've seen, particularly when one spreads BBB, which is the lowest grade investment grade of corporate bonds, over US Treasuries, is that the spread has been ranging in a very tight range over much of the last year. And that suggests that people are not viewing the corporate bond market as in any way risky. And that is a spread that is worth watching, because when it eventually pushes through approximately 200 basis points, or about 2%, then that will suggest that the risk premium that's being attached to corporate bonds and potentially the stock market as a corollary is changing. So that really will be worth monitoring. And of course, because we still have quantitative easing, then the funding avenue for corporations is still very much open, and that means that the buying back of shares, the increasing of dividends, that is for a significant number of companies being funded by taking on additional debt, is likely to continue for a while longer, and that represents quite a significant tailwind for stock markets generally. When we think about what's happening with the US dollar, then today's weakness is perhaps not so unexpected, considering that we are going to have, or the quantitative easing isn't about to be removed anytime soon. The euro was quite a bit firmer, the pound was firmer, the yen was weaker, and the Australian dollar has now closed its overextension relative to the 200-day moving averages and is back at the first area of potential resistance. Now, the RBA has been among the most activist of central banks in attempting to weaken its currency and has had to tolerate a rebound for the Aussie dollar. We can anticipate that they will become increasingly more active the further it rallies from here. So the first downward dynamic is likely to check this rally, whereas in New Zealand, the New Zealand dollar has been quite a bit firmer by comparison and is actually pushing now right up to test the upper side of its range, where in all likelihood is likely to encounter resistance, because there is no great appetite in New Zealand for an especially strong currency either. The Singapore dollar, which along with a number of Asian currencies had weakened somewhat over much of the summer, has been strengthening once more. And in terms of the fundamentals of various markets, the Singapore dollar certainly has a great deal going for it. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, or I should say the afternoon in California, and wish all the best to all of you.